Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and that's my friend Karen that did a commercial on a radio. I was on a radio station for, I don't know, a month or so. We did little spots on it, and what a delightful lady. Beautiful voice, doesn't she have? Anyways, okay, well, today is going to be special. Well, every day is special, but especially today. Anyways, I want to tell everybody about the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com. Next week I'll be sending out notices, little reminders for articles and poetry and excerpts and all that kind of good stuff. And that's how the magazine is, so why it's so big. I mean, I don't always have to send reminders. People will say, could you put this in for me, please? And I mean, if it's, and it's always good material. I never get anything that's not good material at all. So I'm very lucky with that. And also I'm going to tell you about stars with the zpsychics.com. Yeah, we're being hit with inflation and all these other things. But the one thing I'm going to tell you is that our prices have not changed and you still have the best on the internet. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of cheap things, you know, 10 minutes for $1.99. Well, I'm going to give you a flash about that. What can these advisors be making? Practically nothing. Or they're doing it for nothing. So, you see, everybody is hurting. It's not, you know, I mean, I'm surviving. We're doing good. I'm just hanging in there. We're redesigning the site. It's going to look different. It'll have my blue, but it'll have some turquoise and just kind of like, you know, it's the stars, yes, but, you know, up in the stars is angelic presences and all the things that are up there, the moon and everything. And so I wanted to encompass all that, and it's going to be pretty. I have a gal in Kenya that's working on the design right now. Can you imagine that? Found her. She's been doing my Pinterest. Follow me on all of the social networks, you know, Pinterest, Instagram, Tumblr. I'm there. I'm on Facebook. I'm everywhere. So just go on the main, and you'll see all the links at the bottom of the page. So without further ado, because I'm so excited, can you tell how fast I'm talking? Anyways, this lovely, lovely lady is calling in from Ireland. Isn't that wonderful? And she covers something that affects everybody at some point in their life, always. I mean, you don't escape it. It's a fact, and it does happen. So I'm going to bring her on right now. Hi, Muriel Ford Clark. How are you?
Well, hello, Natalie, and greetings from Ireland. It's a pleasure and a blessing to be on your show with you.
Wow. We have lots to talk about. Now, what I want to do is I want to go back from the beginning, before you had something happen in your life that changed the direction of your life. You know, I think
okay.
We need to go back, and then we'll go forward and talk about your beautiful okay. book. And I've got your site up, and I was talking about revamping my other site, and I love the color scheme that you have. It's very soothing, and that's what I told my girl. As a matter of fact, I sent her this, and I said, you can't do exactly this, but I said, here's the turquoise that I want. So,
oh,
anyway.
That's lovely. Yes, that's lovely, Natalie. Thank you.
So, anyway, start at the very beginning. What happened to Muriel?
Well, apart from her near-death experience in 1992, I'll rewind the clock, and I'll go back. When Marielle was born into a very rural part of Ireland, And my grandmother was extremely psychic and very, very gifted. But that time in Ireland, Natalie, everything was done behind closed doors because of being ridiculed or being deemed as a witch, seriously. And she gave birth to a seventh son. And before that, her mom had given birth to a seventh son. So my uncle, second time round, was a very gifted soul as well. And my young brother that made his transition in 2002, he was extremely psychic and gifted. He even was able to foretell his own passing. And, you know, so I was reared in this environment, and I loved nature. I communicated with angels. I saw spirit guides. My grandmother encouraged it. But I thought everybody could communicate with angels and guides. I thought everybody saw them, you know, and it wasn't until much later as I was going to school that I would say, did you see that? There's a beautiful angel behind you. And my friends used to look at me as if to say I was away with the fairies, as they say in Ireland. So then at 15, I had an incredible spiritual experience with Mother Mary. And that was a profound experience where Mother Mary totally appeared before me in an old grotto, in an old abbey that I used to frequent every single morning of my school days. So it was, you know, then I later went on and for my schooling, I studied science and I became a serologist. And that was really kind of testing the other side of my brain completely. But then it was only in 1992 when I'd been diagnosed with advanced cervical cancer, and I was told my odds for survival were not great. But at that time, Natalie, I was living in a very loveless marriage, very dysfunctional marriage, very abusive. Bless my ex. I've learned many great lessons. He was one of my greatest teachers here on Mother Earth. So for that, I'm truly grateful. And then I had this amazing experience when I died and was brought to the other side. That was, I don't know, do you want me to go into it in detail or leave it for later?
Yes, yes, but it wasn't. Time. Yeah, please, because people need to understand. I mean, I do, but I've always understood. Mm-hmm. Nobody had to tell me. But there are people out there that say, oh, yeah, sure, uh-huh. So, yeah. So do some, yeah, oh, yeah. Let's convince as many
fine.
As we can.
Well, it's not really about convincing. It's like it's about an awareness that such
yep.
energy and such beings of light exist out there. And, you know, it's not to prove anything. Their existence is real. But and I was on the operating table, and all of a sudden, halfway through the surgery, I'm right up above my body, and I'm looking down at myself on the bed, and I saw all this fuss and commotion trying to get me back, and there was doctors and nurses, and there was crash cars. Everything was very urgent, and I was floating so peacefully above my body. And I said, "What's all the fuss about?" In my own words, telepathy. And then a vortex, like a whirlpool of light, opened up, and then I was sucked and pulled right into the center of it. And there I found such peace. I had no pain, I had no fear, no anxiety, no stress. I was just bathed in this beautiful, beautiful, loving presence. And the music I heard, Natalie, I've never heard of it since. It was so, the words I would say is heavenly, so blissful, so beautiful. And then I was being sucked further and further into the new vortex, this whirlpool. And then in this kind of golden mist, this big hand comes out and places it before me. And it was like a stop sign that said, no, you can't go any further. And the next thing I know, I catapulted back into my body, and I hear the doctor saying, she's back. We've got her back. So 2 or 3 days later, the surgeon came and he said to me, you know, well, he had been there before, but I wasn't aware of it. He said, you know, he said, Marielle, you're one lucky lady to be alive. And he said, you know, you were hemorrhaging outwards. And we were, the more blood infusions we were giving you, the more your body was expelling it. And he said, then all the last liter of blood, or pint, I think it was that time, that's the one that stuck, and that's how they got me back. And I looked up at him and I said, why the hell didn't you just let me die? Because I said it was a beautiful place. And the reality is, Natalie, I was in such a dysfunctional marriage. And that time in Ireland, we had no divorce. We were only initiating laws for separation. And the old cliche in Ireland was, you made your bed, you better lie in it. So that was it was a very hard time. So fast forward 3 months later, I wanted to go back to that serenity. I intended to end my life. And in the middle of the night, around 2 o'clock in the morning, I was going out the door. It was the dark night of my soul. I was in so much pain. All I could see was darkness. The idea that I had three beautiful children in their beds did not enter my mind. And I was just about to leave and go out my front door. And the same hand appeared, but then my father appeared right beside it. And my father said, with an old Irish cliche, Natalie, it says a cujin, which means my love or my dear. And he says, keep your molly a cujin, keep your powder dry. And the next thing I know, Natalie, it's past 5 in the morning, and I'm sitting on this couch and I'm shaking, my teeth are nattering, I'm frozen. And the realization then that I had intended to end my life really, really took hold of me. And there is 3 hours of that night that I have no recollection of, even with past life regression that I have gone through. But my guides have reassured me what was happening for those 3 hours. They were restoring my soul fragmentation. They were rebuilding my soul. They were refueling with energy, with love, and with healing light. And that I'm not to try and retrieve those hours again. They have been dealt with. So then my journey began. I went to a solicitor or a lawyer the next day, and the rest, it took me 6 years to have my separation, and later I had my divorce. But then my journey began. Why did I survive? Why did I live?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then I started studying. And that time with the scientific mind, it was so important. I went to the physicists like the Einsteins, like the Swedenborg, like the Descartes psychologists, and all of those. I studied all the cultures that I could get my hands on, and to realize, you know, that all societies, all cultures believe in an afterlife. And the afterlife, actually, is not a new phenomenon. It goes back to Plato, to Socrates, to Caesar, and all of them spoke about the afterlife, and all of them believed that they had a common feature between the three of them, that the soul was the most divine part of our human psychic, and the soul was our lifeline while we're here on earth, and when we die, it's returned back to source. So hence my journey over the last 30 plus years. But in saying that, I left more or less the science mind behind me, and I started studying all the healing modalities. I started studying crystal healing, angel healing, IET, I became a shaman, sound therapy. You know, I was searching all the time. But it is so important for people to realize we have the answers within. And I met many wonderful people, and I studied with Dr. Brian Wes. I studied with the beautiful late Wayne Dyer. I met Louise Hay, attended some of her workshops, studied with Deepak Chopra. So I've been very, very blessed. And hence, I started running night classes and workshops. And one of the workshops was a two-day one, helping people to connect with their loved ones past. So that's
and don't you think people get signs of some sort? I'll tell you my story, but I think they just don't realize it. I mean, but you have to, first of all, you have to believe. You can't second guess, and you can't say, oh, no, that couldn't have happened. I'll say to people, well, why not? You know, you have to understand that there is another layer, that this is just our time here. And I agree with you. Why did you survive? I asked the same question because I almost died. And I think a lot of us wonder, you know, well, I know I have work to do, but what is it?
Yes.
What else is there? I mean, you know, I can be interviewing till the sky falls and talking to people all over the world. And, you know, but we always ask that question, and I don't know why. You know, what else am I supposed to do? Especially those who have had a near-death experience, who were brought back, I should say. I don't know what happened to me. I mean, I had a visitation from a huge, and I'm going to tell you this because you'll know what it is, a huge, it was a crystal on the back of my wall, a raw one. So it wasn't smooth. It was all kind of jagged and different. It was about 7 feet high, and my whole room was glowing that yellowish color. And I was very ill. There wasn't anything they could do for me. I contracted this virus. I couldn't stand. I couldn't do anything. I just laid in bed all day, didn't even watch TV, didn't read, didn't do anything. Okay, so, but this happened to me. And, you know, I was working with this huge group of psychics, and, you know, they became my friends because, you know, I took the money. I mean, I'm always collecting the money and all of that. And so they all said to me, oh, well, that was to heal you. I said, yes, I understand that, but I had to see it. There's a reason I had to see it. And once I believed it to be, okay, I got it. Okay, yes, I turned around. I went back to sleep, Mariel. You would have thought I would have stayed up all night to watch this, but I didn't.
But they believe it or not, the soul chooses, you know, when it needs rest and restoration. And obviously all you needed was just to see it for those moments in that time, in that space, in that place. And then, like me, to return back to a restful state for restoration and for further healing. You know, so, but that image has never left you. And I'm sure that energy is still with you.
Yeah, I never saw it again, but yeah, it has. And, you know, I mean, you know, I talk to God every day. Sometimes people laugh. Sometimes it's more like a dissertation, like, well, now, what did you do that for? What is the purpose in that? You know, I mean, you shouldn't do that, but I do that because I laugh about it. But my life has always been involved with psychics and healers and all of that, especially after I had, I call it my visitation. And then after that, though, Mariel, I had some close calls. My son and I were in a car, and my late husband was sitting up front with him, and all of a sudden I saw all of this red. It wasn't paint. I don't know what it was. It was just red pieces coming at us. What happened was this man was going, cut in front of some traffic, and he flew at us. And my son and I, we were fine. The man broke his arm, but we were all really fine, okay? And I got out of the car, and my son said, did you see that? And I said, you tell me what you saw. He said, well, Mother, I did not turn that wheel to get us out of the way. I could not have turned that wheel as much as it turned, because it only goes so far. A wheel in a car, it turned for us. It got us out of the way. So I've had some things happen. Oh, I have goosebumps. I have had things happen. I'm sure you have too. Mm. And our listeners also. Those things are not, you know, your mind wasn't playing games with you. Not at all.
No. And the reality is, Natalie, you know, our soul chooses our timing for its coming, and our soul chooses its timing for its going. And none of us go before our time. And some people would often say to me, well, why did I have to lose my son? Why did I have to lose my baby? Why did I have to lose my brother at such a young age? And the reality is we have entered into a sacred contract long before we come in to the physical body again. We must remember that we are multidimensional beings living in a multidimensional universe. And when we're spiritual beings, and when we come on earth, we occupy this vessel, which is a human vessel. And that is like our car. It drives us around, bringing us from A to B and Z until we have mastered the lessons that we have come here for. And, you know, it is, if it's not our time to go, we will be saved by divine intervention. And this happens time and time again.
Right.
If our soul purpose hasn't been fulfilled, always saved by divine intervention. And ironically enough, Natalie, you will also hear of people, you know, that were driving in a car and, you know, the driver was probably, bless anyone who has lost anyone through accidents, any kind of accident. And, you know, that they escaped just, the car tumbled, went over a cliff, into a ravine, into a river, and yet they survived. There
yes.
is so many stories about when cars like that, and especially cars that have ended up in water, the beams of light that came and told them that they would be okay, that did the breathing for them. Same thing happens with, say, one of my friends, her daughter, while she was out foreign on a summer holiday, her daughter fell into the swimming pool and nobody saw that she had fallen in. And the lifeguard finally sees her and drags her out. And she was pronounced dead at the side of the pool, of the swimming pool, and was brought off to hospital. And her mom traveled with her. But the ironic thing about it, somebody kept saying to her mom, please believe that your daughter will be fine. Please believe that your daughter will be fine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when the daughter was 7 years of age, but the daughter came around and she kept telling her mother that this beautiful being or an angel, she didn't know what it was. She said it was like a being of light, like it was an angel, kept breathing into her lungs for her and told her that she was going to be all right and not to be afraid. You know, so there's amazing stories like that happening all the time. And there is
right.
so many documents, you know, so if it's not our time, by divine intervention. And if it is our time, unfortunately, then we transition to the other side.
Right. Right. And I wish people would understand that. So tell me, can you talk? Well, yeah, I know you can talk.
I'm Irish.
Yeah, I'm Italian, so we'll make a great pair. What's it like on the other side?
I have had, apart even from my death experience, I call it a death experience because I was pronounced dead, clinically dead. Heart has stopped, pulse has stopped, all neural activity has stopped. It is beautiful on the other side. It is peaceful. It is like heaven on earth. This is what we are trying to create now. The likes of you and me that are, you're interviewing me and I'm talking about God and the afterlife and angels. So we're trying to create a heaven on earth for people. And it's so important. This is part of our soul purpose. But the other side is beautiful. And people ask me, you know, well, how do you know it's the other side? How do you know what's there? And what I explain to them, which has come through from my guides, whatever we believe in when we're leaving this earth plane, that's the same level of consciousness that we bring with us to the other side. And if it doesn't, now everybody transitions to the other side, irregardless of religion, race, creed, age, gender. Everybody goes to the other side. But there are different levels, different spheres, which accommodate our level of understanding. So for me, I believe in the God presence. I believe in angels and guides because they have been communicating with me forever. And I will go to a level of that consciousness, that spiritual consciousness that accommodates my level of understanding. But I also have opportunity to grow more spiritually on the other side also. And everybody, even if, put it this way, Natalie, when there was a talk show one night and some man rang in and he said, well, if everyone goes to the other side, he says to me, and he was very cross. Are you telling me, he says, I'll end up in the same second place, he says, as Hitler, if we are right? And I said, no, my darling. I said, no. There are, as I said, there are different levels, and there are very, very low levels. So I said, the likes of Hitler's and the Osama bin Laden's and the Mussolini's and all those who have murdered and done evil things,
they would
go
be very
to
low.
Very,
yeah.
Yes. Very, very dark place. That is their hell. But under the law of progress, there is an opportunity for them to turn to the light. But my guides tell me sometimes those people with that level of mentality, they do not want to grow to the light, that they prefer to muddle around in their den of iniquity because that's what they're familiar with. You know, so for people that are aware and believe in something, believe in a God presence, believe, even the, you know, last year I had a funeral of a friend and he didn't believe in anything. He was an amazing soul, just amazing.
Yeah.
And the charity work he did behind the scenes, nobody knew about it, Natalie, until he had actually died. But he did not believe in anything. But yes, he was the most generous soul. He believed in nature. He believed in recycling. What he did to enhance the ecological environment where he worked and where we all lived was incredible. So he believed in nature. So who is in nature but God in itself? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I was raised a Catholic and all of that kind of stuff, and I never had any doubts. I just always liked to be at home and talk to God. That's what I did. You know, I'm still doing it. No, you're not going to escape this one today. But I do it in jest, but I'm very serious when I do it. And I've had, like you, we talked, I've had a lot of things happen to me, losses. You know, and I'm going to tell you this too. I don't know why. I think I need to. My best childhood friend, Barbara, she was very ill. And her daughter is my goddaughter. Well, they were in Michigan, and, of course, I'm in South Carolina. So I had two of my readers, my advisors, say to me, you need to go. She's waiting for you. You need to go. So my son and I, we took a plane up to Michigan. We were there only 36 hours, and I'm going to tell you what happened. I got there. Her daughter was there beside her mother, and her husband was out in the kitchen. I walked right in. I pulled a chair close to her. And my son was like, had another chair behind me. And I grabbed her hand and I said, it's okay. I'm here. I'll take good care of Heather. That's my goddaughter. You don't have to worry. Because mm-hmm. she always told me, she said, I'd never worry about Heather because she'll always have you. And that's the truth. So so I held her, Marielle, and I felt her pulse and it was getting really faint. And my son leaned over. He says, I think it's really close. We had just gotten there 20 minutes before,
yes.
and she died in my arms.
She was holding her.
I was holding her, and my son was holding me. Nobody else was in the room. And did I cry? Mm-hmm. No. She suffered so much. You know, she went through all of this stuff, and I'm not against getting help, medical help. But there's a point where you have to say, you know what? I mean, I'm suffering too much. Why should I go through all of this when the end is, I can see what the end's going to be, right? But it was the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me, and that is no joke. My son grabbed me and he said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. I'm just fine because I felt good for her.
Found her peace. Yes.
It was beautiful.
And you know, Natalie, people wait. I'm also a spiritual midwife. I have been for years and years, and I am called to the bedside of the dying many, many times. And it is just, it's such a sacred place to be. at the bedside of somebody that's about to transition. And then I'm always guided by the soul of the person that's about to die. I'm always guided what is best to do at that stage. And being a shaman also, I'm guided to close the chakra systems, which make it easier for the soul to rise up and leave the body at the right time. But I have seen incredible, incredible beauty at the bedside of the dying. And, you know, I have seen people waiting for weeks to die. And then somebody that they had unfinished business with, one of my clients, he was just an amazing guy, and he was in his very late 70s, and he used to attend all my workshops and night classes. He just loved them. And then he was missing for a brief time. And he rang me one day, and he says, "Christ, Marielle," he says, "I'm in a bad way." He says, "Can I come and see you?" And I said, "Of course you can." So Barney comes to see me to realize he had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he had 6 weeks to live. So straight away, I tap into his soul and ask his soul, what does he need right now? He was in my healing room, and I was guided by his soul to take him on a journey to the other side. And that journey lasted 2.5 hours. But when I stepped away from Patrick and I sat on the chair and allowed him time to absorb and to savor what had happened, finally, he kind of comes back into his body. And he looks up at me and he says, "Christ Almighty," he says, "I've been in the most beautiful place." But he says, "I met my father. I met my father. And my father has said he's sorry for all the wrongdoings he did while I was a young man. And he has asked me to make friends with my brother before I die." A 40-year feud, Natalie, overland, the typical in Ireland, 40-year feud. And they had fallen out, father and two brothers. And here he was, 6 weeks before he died, he was guided by his father. And he was in heaven, he said. And he said, "Do you know the best part about it? I'm after meeting my two sheepdogs." And I said, "What was their names?" And he said, "Bonnie and Clyde." And with that, he said, "And you know what's more? I'm no longer afraid to die," he said. So that was the last time I saw Barney. And 6 weeks later, less than 6 weeks, his wife phoned me. And she said he made the most beautiful passing, very peaceful, and his brother was at his bedside. And you know,
it's just
that's
something
why
when you are around people like that. The only one I was ever around was my friend. Other than that, and my late husband. You know that,
right?
That, you know, that was another story. You know, everybody knows he had Alzheimer's. He was not very nice. He was worse at the end. I mean, the last year, but I kept him home and I did my thing. Yes. I took care of him. And I will tell you, I saw the feet of Jesus in the bathroom one day, and I'm not going to go into detail. I was sobbing because I didn't know how much longer I could take care of him and put up with the abuse, because I was abused. You know what I'm saying? And he would throw me, he would hit me. I'm just this little thing. And I'm sitting on the floor, Marielle, and I look down and I see a robe and the feet, and I knew it was Jesus. I got up, unlocked the door, I was good to go. Never happened again. I never felt like that again. I mean, I never got hurt, no bruises, nothing. I mean, it was a miracle. My son would come over and he'd say, "I didn't know what I was going to find. Maybe you dead on the floor." But I was, you can bet, I had an angelic presence around me making sure that I was protected. I just know it. You know, things like that don't happen. I mean, you hear people getting harmed and, they took out a gun and shot them and all of that. But you see, there were a lot of things that could have been done to me, but they were not. And everything was put away. I was just blessed.
And you know, But you know, Natalie, sometimes, especially because my mom, bless her, had Alzheimer's for the last 4 years of her life, and I took care of her. Predominantly, I did all her caring, and my clinic had to be handed over into different hands for a period of time. But it's so important for anybody that is caring for an elderly person, or even somebody that is invalided, it's so important to ask your angels and your guides for protection, to shield you in a golden globe of protective light, so that
right.
only God's light enters your energy, space, and aura. Because remember, when we come on earth, we are coming in with free will and free choice. And years and years ago, I used to say to the angels, but why don't you step in and why don't you help such a person? And I've been reminded time and time again
you can.
That angels work under divine will. They cannot intervene, not unless
right.
our life is in danger. And it's
right.
not our time.
And it's not,
but,
and it's not, you have more to do, and that is not what should
yes.
happen at this moment in time. You know, I believe in all of this so much. I have at night, my son has been here, and my daughter-in-law, and my granddaughter, and my lights in my kitchen, they don't do this all the time. I have four big lights in this high ceiling. They'll blink. And this one time they blinked just a few times, not constant, and the lights have not burned out. And I'll say, okay, hi, I know you're here. I don't know what four lights you are. I could just guess.
Yeah.
And my daughter-in-law says, who are you talking to? And I said, well, it could be my brother-in-law. It could be my girlfriend, Barb. It could be this. It could be that.
Yeah.
I said, it could be any one of them. They're just letting me know that they're here. She said, oh, my God. So she went to Catholic school, but she doesn't believe like me. Not really. And
well,
And so my son, it happened when he was here, and he said, I know, it's just four different entities up there. I said, well, just think of them as angels. You know, they're all letting me know that they're here, and I talk to them. Oh, gosh.
And you know, Natalie, it's so important for people that have lost loved ones to know, even if they don't believe, that our loved ones will try their best to communicate with them when they reach the other side. And the most predominant way that they will have after death communication is really through dreams and when you're in your sleep state, because that's when the ego goes to bed. That's when it's easier for the angelic realm and for our loved ones and spirit world to infiltrate into the earth plane. So it's much easier. And that's why you might hear somebody saying, I dreamt about my father last night, and but I can't fully remember. But then somebody will say, oh, I dreamt about my father last night.
And you'll remember.
It was as real. It was as real. He was there. I can describe what he wore. Yes, you have a vivid recall. And that's the difference between a dream and a visitation. Your loved one sometimes will visit you, especially if you're in difficulty, if you're going through a difficult time in your life, if you're going through health problems. And there's so many ways that the client communicate. Like you were saying there, they flicker lights. They will, the piece of music will start playing all of a sudden from the TV or from a radio station that they love, or a book may fall off a shelf. Or somebody might say something to you, which is very significant, and then you hear it again, and you hear it a third time. That's your loved one trying to get a message through to you. Some may have loved nature, so maybe a bird might be significant, maybe a feather, maybe a coin.
You're going to laugh at this. I have seven deer that come and visit me at night. I feed them. They've got names.
Right.
I gave them names. So I bring these two big bowls out there. You're going to love this because this is nature. This is beauty. And
yes.
they're like little angelic presences to me. They I call them by name. One, the big female is Willow, and the big male is Maximus.
Wow, Maximus, yes.
Maximus. Oh, he's got the antlers that probably touch the sky. He's big. She's big, though, too, and she brings the smaller ones with her, not fawns, but they're smaller. And anyway, so I stand out there. My neighbors probably think I'm nuts, but I put these bowls out there, and I say, Willow, come on. Bring your little ones with you. Maximus, behave yourself. I mean, I'm talking to these things. So within about, they're probably in the woods, and they hear me, I think, now, because within about 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I have a camera out there. I see them coming in. Now, Maximus doesn't come with the females. He comes by himself. But I believe their presence is very important to me. I am providing food for them, and it makes me feel so good. And I'm an activist. I don't hurt anything. I don't want to see anything hurt ever. And so my son said to me, he says, you know what, Mom, they probably just love you. Of course you're feeding them, yes. But he said, you just have a way with things sometimes that I shake my head. How did she do that? You know? He said, you could probably call, well, you're going to call them one day and they're going to all come, or one of them's going to come, probably Willow, and then there's Lily. I named another one Lily. But you appreciate that because, you know, nature, animals nature. Like that, they know. They know.
And animals are they're supercharged, and they operate on a much higher frequency sometimes than human beings. And animals are so tuned into the earth. You know how when animals, like if there is fires, the animals will go to higher ground. If there is a tsunami, the animals will know how to, they'll feel it already on the ocean floor, and it'll vibrate through the earth, and they will feel it through their feet. And they know it's like a wake-up call to get out of there, you know.
So to be
connected with nature is so powerful, but we're all interconnected. We're all part of the greater whole. We're all interconnected by the land, the sea, the birds, the animal kingdom, the heavenly kingdom, you know, we and the human kingdom. We're all interconnected. We are all one. Sooner we realize that, the more unity and harmony we will have on our earth plane as well. And, you know, Natalie, while you were talking there, when you were saying you didn't like to harm anybody, it's so important as well, because under the law of karma, you know, even for people that perpetrate injuries or injustices to another, it is so important for people to realize, even if our justice system doesn't serve us well, under spiritual law, nobody that harms another and perpetrates wrongdoing on another,
it's so appalling to me, and I see these deer and they're so beautiful. I mean, I cut up apples for them and I give them carrots with their regular food, and the food is very nourishing because it's got everything they need, calcium and everything. And somebody asked me, they said, well, do you peel the apples? I said, no. But I have, listen to this, I don't know what my backyard's turning into. I have rabbits. I have an opossum.
Yeah.
I have an armadillo that comes. And I have hummingbirds when the season allows. I mean, it's like nature in my backyard. And my backyard is not that big. But you know what? Yeah. I go out there and I'm just so connected to it, connected to the sky and the trees. It's just the most beautiful thing in the world. Really. Look around, people. It's called life. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And it's called, and God is in nature. God is in every blade of grass. He's in every branch of a tree. He's in the sky. He's in the stars. He's in the seas. He's in the animals. He's in every single thing, and he's in every single one of us, even if we do not recognize a God presence, be it Allah, Buddha, Krishna, Yero, Great White Spirit. You know, it is, people have their own way of calling in God. And it may not be like our Catholic upbringing. Like, I was reared very much Catholic and educated by nuns for the first few years of my life, which wasn't great either, because when they would talk about hellfire and damnation, Natalie, I would say, no, God is a loving God. God is all loving. God loves me. He loves you. And if I make a mistake, he'll give me another chance. And the nuns used to condemn me. And I would end up being put at the back of the class behind a blackboard with a dunce's hat on my head, because I dare say that God was loving, that I dare believe that I was going to be punished in a hell's fire. You know, so with that Catholic upbringing, I grew more spiritually because my grandmother was spiritual, which was a very daring thing in those days gone by, Natalie, to dare feel that you... While I love God, but I don't need a church to honor God. I don't need a church to pray to God. That's my thinking on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Yeah, I used to go to this Catholic church, and I looked around, and I was like a teenager and had all this gold, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, God is everywhere. Why do I have to come to this place and pray to and recognize God here? What, was he just come here? No. And then I was probably 9 years old, and I think that's when it started for me. A lot of questions, a lot of, I didn't see things. I've heard music before, and before my dear friend passed, about a week before, I heard a harp. I woke up and I heard a harp. Yeah, I knew. Okay. And my phone used to ring once in a while. I mean, it would ring, but it didn't ring. It wasn't my phone. But I, just at that point, the etheric point, you know, when you're in the ether of that, you're just not woke up, but you're there. And I haven't heard those in a really long time. I'm going to answer my own question. I think what's happened is that I don't need to hear that. I don't need that now.
You don't need any more validation or proof.
No. I mean, I talk it all the time. And, you know, I don't really go over things and over things. I have a magazine, you know, and I have this other site. And some of it was causing me stress. And then I decided to myself, I said, wait a minute. No. This is not going to be like this because I'm intelligent and I know certain things. And I am not going to worry about this. I'm going to leave it to God. He can take care of it.
Over. And, you know, Natalie, so, you know, we're talking, which is amazing, talking about God tonight. Do you know what is amazing as well? The fact that I have a science background, I have to study Einstein. And Einstein believed in God, which was a huge thing for a physicist of his genre. And believed that there was a God presence that was far, far supreme than any intelligent being could comprehend, because it's the intelligence that created this world, he said, must have been God. The only thing he said was, the only caveat was, he said, you know, I would have liked to have asked him, could he have created the world differently? You know, so, and a lot of people blame God for what's going on in the world right now. A lot of people blame God for people being sick. Why did God do this to my son? Why did God do this to my daughter? Why did God do this to me? But this is not of God's doing. We come into this world and we have, as I said earlier, a soul contract to fulfill. And it's the lessons that we need to learn. And sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's poverty. Sometimes it's embellished in wealth. Sometimes it's about love. Sometimes it's about overcoming addiction. We don't know what we have signed because we have gone through the veil of amnesia. We've gone through the veil of forgetfulness. Because if we did know what we signed up for, we certainly wouldn't have come into the body to experience this earth school, because it is very challenging and it is painful. And the lessons that we have to learn are all part of our soul lessons, which we actually agreed a long time ago before we incarnated.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you just use your intelligence, you can figure it out. but a lot of people, they don't want to adjust like that. They don't want that. I don't know what it is. I don't get it. I mean, you can argue with them till the sky falls, and they're going to say, nope, there isn't anything else. It's just us here, and that's it. Yeah. Well, those kind of people you're not going to be able to convince, you know. You know, what are you going to do? I do my best. I do my shows. I bring on beautiful people like you. You know, I believe with everything that I know. That's what I know. So,
yeah.
Sorry,
my angel, but, you know, I'm being really guided to say at this stage, you know, there is so much evidence out there going back thousands and thousands of years. Going back even to the 4th century to Pythagoras, who was one of the great mathematicians of all times, he believed in the afterlife, he believed in heaven. As I said earlier, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Swedenborg, all of those, there is huge documentation about the afterlife and the people that conversed with loved ones on the other side, like Swedenborg. He conversed with apostles. He conversed with inventors and other physicists. And hence and that was at 56 years of age. And, you know, then there is all the medical proof, Natalie. All the wonderful doctors going back to, you know, Dr. Ian Stevenson, Dr. Raymond Moody, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And in more recent years, Dr. Ivan Alexander, who was the neurosurgeon, and he believed in nothing. He had such a scientific mind. He believed in nothing only which could be analyzed, data, calculated, and facts, until he had his own death experience, and he was on the other side. And he met this being of light who brought him and journeyed with him while he was out of his body. And he was shown different parts of the heavenly levels. And he was accompanied by this being of light, this angelic presence, which was female. And it was afterwards that he said that God and soul and heaven were real. And for him to make that statement, he went on then and wrote Proof of Heaven, which is an incredible read. Yes, it's a bit medical orientated, but there are so many other doctors. There's Dr. Pen van Lohman, who is a cardiologist, a Dutch cardiologist, and all his clients. He has had hundreds and hundreds over years and years. And he, through his research of all the people that he resuscitated and brought back, the compelling evidence which signifies that heaven is real. It's no longer a theory to be proved. It's an actual fact.
And there have been so many people. I had an author on, and he was hit by a train. And he said, I was there. They thought I was going to die. That was it. I'm done, you know. And he said, and I saw my body. And he said, of course, he's alive. And we talked about that, and he said that was the scariest thing. I said, but you let go. You see, you allowed whatever was to happen to happen.
Yes.
You can't control that. You know, I talk to my son about it a lot. You know, I have certain things, and my granddaughter is 17, and I like to tell them things, you know. And I said to my son, if there's a way, I'll let you know that I'm around.
Yeah.
He said, well, I don't doubt that with you. And I said, don't doubt it. I will be there. I'll hit you on the head. I'll do something. But
the reality is, Natalie, they do, our loved ones do, and you spoke about the signs earlier and this after-death communication, and they are so desperate as well for us to know that they're okay. And,
I know,
my brother came to me to tell me, you know, after he had died, 6 months after he had passed into the spirit world, he came to me and he said, you know, one night, and he said, Mommy needs medical intervention. And I said, you know me now, Joseph, you need to come to me 3 times before I will believe you. Because that's the skeptic, that's still the scientific mind working. It's still there, it hasn't gone away. So the 3 nights in a row, Natalie, he came to me and he said, there's something wrong with Mammy, Tommy. And that time, Natalie, she had lost her baby, even though he was 36, he was still her baby. And she was only beginning to smile again. And cutting a very long story short, Natalie, I brought it to the doctor and he didn't believe me. He said there was nothing wrong with my mother. He said, if you said there was something wrong with her heart or her lungs because she smoked for 60 plus years, then he said, I'd say something. But divine intervention took place. And eventually that day he phoned, the doctor phoned because he saw my state, my distraught state, got a scan scheduled for the following day. And that was on the Tuesday. And by Friday, my mother had hours to live. They just got her into the operating theater on time. She had a triple A aortic aneurysm. And only for my brother's intervention. And I couldn't tell the doctor it was my dead brother that had given me the...
Oh,
because
yeah,
the doctor
looked at you like you were nuts. Yes. Just put her in a straitjacket.
I'd be in a straitjacket. Yes.
Tie her up and take her away.
Yes.
No, you know, and it's really, you would think that nowadays that it would be more normal for people to hear, but they don't. I've never seen anything. I'll hear things, but I don't see. I mean, in my dreams. Now, my dreams have been pretty colorful. Lots of people have come to me. My girlfriend Barb came to me, the one that passed away.
Yeah.
You know, and I lost my brother-in-law in September, my sister-in-law last December. I have seen them in my dreams. And usually it's funny because I don't remember them. I don't remember my dreams, but I have been really well now. So,
yeah.
Maybe
and
that's just
see,
to
that
let
is,
me know. We're here.
Exactly,
you know, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. We're overlighting you. We're looking after you. And, and you know, for anybody that's listening that, you know, that is sitting on the fence and saying, God, those two ladies need to get their heads examined. You know, we need to use our free will. And it's not about God can, whatever God is to you, it doesn't have to be. God is certainly not this man sitting on a cloud in a white robe and a gold sash and playing a harp. That's not God. That is not God. It's a consciousness. It is a supreme consciousness. It can be. We see God as an energy, but it is an essence that infiltrates through the heavenly realm right down into every sentient being that is born and life is birthed through. And that is God. That is God. That it's God that's in each and every one of us. And that is why it's so important that, you know, even if we don't believe, just even ask, and maybe you need to give me a sign now. Let me know that you're there. Let me know that, you know, that you've heard my prayer, especially if you're struggling financially in a relationship, if you're struggling with mental health, mental illness.
Right.
So important
right.
to ask your angel to step in and say, look, I really don't know you're there, but can you give me a sign? And I guarantee you, you will get a sign. Somewhere along the line, you will get a sign when you ask for it. The important thing is you need to ask.
Right. Well, yeah. And, you know, you have to believe. I mean, that's important. I mean, that's how I've always been. And I've been spared many times. So I know. And you too. You see, you know. And sometimes you don't think things like that. You know, sometimes you don't get these drastic things that happen to you and say, oh, my God, now I get it. No, you don't, maybe not. And I don't know why it happens to certain people. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, and you're going to hear what I say at the end of my show, and you're going to love it. But you'll see, I put it in my Instagram a lot of times. But anyways, I think everybody, this is recorded, so I'm going to make sure everybody listens. We're going to put it, there's been a review of your book on my site, I think, for last month. I'm going to put it there, and maybe I can get something from you, another excerpt or something from the book for the November issue. But it's also important that people hear and they understand that what you and I are talking about, it's real. People, it's real. And, you know, for those who really suffer, who've lost somebody, and it's just, earth-shattering, it just hurts them so much, start to think, well, maybe they're in a really good place, you know. There's no more pain, and they're watching over me, and I can talk to them. Talk to them! That's what they're waiting for.
And that's another thing that's in Whereafter in my book, Natalie. It teaches people, even if they are not, if they're skeptical, it teaches people how to communicate with your loved one very, very simply. And it doesn't, you don't need to be religious. You don't need to be anything but yourself. And it's very simple, very straightforward, how to connect with your loved one and create that heart link from your heart to theirs. And what you feel in your heart, your loved one feels it in their spiritual home. So
and you'll feel good. It'll make you feel good, people. Listen.
Absolutely.
You know, don't walk in a fog. I mean, listen to Mary Ellen and I. We both had different experiences. It's wonderful. To me, it's wonderful. I mean, if you can experience something like this, man, you got it. It's good. It's all good. It really, really is.
And a way, Natalie, sometimes, Natalie, a way to help people to communicate or to experience that bliss, that place, meditation, to do mantras, to do invocations.
Right.
All of those raise your vibration. It's about raising your vibration so that you are connecting to the higher vibration, which is of the angels and the spirit guides. So if we're all worried and bothered and stressed and angry, we're operating from a very low level of frequency. So when we listen to meditation or when we chant or when we do invocation, we're raising our vibration. So in raising our vibration, we are rising it to the higher level where we can commune with angels and guides.
Let them help you, right? Let them, you know, I mean, ask for help.
Yes, absolutely. We need to ask.
And you have to ask, but you have to believe, too. Oh, I've loved this time with you, Maria. I knew it would be really good. Nonstop talking. That's what we did.
Awesome.
You and I, nonstop.
It's been a blessing, Natalie.
But you know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, bringing on beautiful people like yourself and doing my magazine. And you know, I was allowing some of this to cause me stress, and I was having stomach issues. And so I said out loud, okay, this is enough. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
You can take it. You can fix it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because
and
I
you
can't.
Hand it
I
over.
Mean, yeah, hand it over. Just, and it's a doozy. I know, but you know, this is just Natalie. I have to keep feeding my deer. That's all that I know. I'm so worried that they're going to be cold. My son's laughing. He says, "Mother, they don't be. They're not cold. They have different skin. They have fur. They know where to cuddle. They know." You know, I'm just like the mother. I mother them. I'm sorry. I'll just mother anything that comes in my yard.
Well, they're very blessed. They're very blessed.
Oh, I know they are because they come all the time, see. And they're coming earlier now because it's getting darker earlier. But, you know, and after December 21st, it's going to get, the days will get longer again. But this is the time that it's called the rut. So, you know, the males are looking for the females. So sometimes they're a little skittish. And but I'm just hoping, Marielle, that I have a little fawn that visits me in the spring.
Oh,
I'm hoping.
Oh, how lovely.
I would love it. I mean, because I would feel a part of that little one's life because I was feeding the mama. And it's just so important to me. So I'm pretty sure one of them is going to have one. And they carry them, I think, 7 months. So it would not be till like June, maybe, I guess, something like that.
Wow.
July, somewhere in there. So it'll be good. It'll be perfect. I'll be so excited.
Oh, well, I wish and bless whatever little creature will come to your fence. I bless them implicitly.
Yes, yes. And we must do this again. Now, I want to tell everybody before we go, we have time, about your site. Go to Mariel Ford. Clark.com. I'm going to spell it for you. It's MarielFordeClark.com. Go there and look. You can read about everything that she's done, everything that she's done. You can. Now, can people do a one-on-one with you?
I have been doing one-on-ones through emails the last while because the demand was so much, Natalie. So I'm doing one-to-one emails at the moment until things settle down a little bit in the new year.
Yeah, but this is really good for people who can't come to see you that are here in the States or wherever. So you can be reached. You can be reached.
Absolutely. And I'd be humbled for anybody that would like to reach out. I'd be a willing host for them and a witness to whatever is going on in their lives. And I'd be
right. And maybe a better understanding of things that they cannot see. You know, a little better understanding and help. It all helps. It all helps. Grief, loss, depression, all of it. So I thank you, my lovely lady. And you're going to love this. I always end my shows the same way, and I'll put it on my Instagram, and that is, believe in things you cannot see, they really are there. And that's the truth. And Marielle and I have been talking about the very same thing. See, right in line, I say it all the time because that's how I believe. That's how I feel. And go visit her site. Get her book. Oh, my goodness. I got to go back to your main page here. Your book is called Where Do Our Loved Ones Go After They Die? Came out at the end of August, right?
That's right, Natalie, yes.
And my goodness, you know, I'm looking at your picture. You are beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you, Natalie. But you know what? Sometimes I scrub up well. Other times, see me too early in the morning, you might change your mind.
That's like all of us, right? That's true. I mean, you know, I make sure that I look good all the time. I mean, if I'm home and I'm not going anywhere, I always make sure. I that's important. I think that's important to your well-being, because if you let yourself go for the day, say you're home, whatever you're doing, you can look in the mirror and say, oh, my God, what is that? You know?
Yes.
And you never
know.
And
it does help. It does help. It does help when you take care of yourself personally as well. And when you look in the mirror, then you say, oh, I scrubbed up good today. That's good.
Yeah, not
Thank
so
you
bad.
Well. Thank you,
not
Andrew.
So bad.
Yes, not so bad.
But also, too, we're all beautiful. It doesn't matter. We really are. And beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? And only the beholder sees that beauty. So anyways, much love to you, and I'll see you on Instagram. Muriel and I always do these little things to each other, and, you know, it's so nice. I love the way you talk. It's not, we were talking about this earlier, she doesn't have this heavy brogue, as they call it. Sometimes you can't understand some people, like if they're from England. Oh, my God, sometimes they're so hard to understand. I mean, I have to really tune my ears into the words, but not you. It was beautiful and perfect.
Oh, that's
Just like you are.
Natalie, it's been a pleasure, and I bless you, and I bless every one of your listeners, and I ask that if they're in need of healing, that they are blessed with all the healing, love, and life that they need.
Yes, how wonderful. How wonderful you are. I mean, go to Instagram and follow her. She does all these beautiful, she puts all these beautiful things on there. You'll see pictures of deer on mine. No, that's not joking. Not all the time. I don't put them always there.
I have to say, my daughter.
I'm the deer lady. I had one little girl. That's my friend's granddaughter. She said, do you have a farm? I said, no, why? She says, well, you got all these animals. I said, yeah, but they just come to me. They come in my yard. Oh, she said, they must really love you. I said, well, I feed them. And she said, no, they must love you. They have to love you because they're not afraid. And I said, no, nothing to be afraid with around me. So, okay, I'm going
to
let you go. What time is
energy.
It there?
It is 6:10 in the evening.
Dinner time, huh, for
6:10.
You?
Dinner time.
Okay. Enjoy your meal.
Bless you, my angel.
Oh, bless you. And I will see you, you know, I'll see you on Instagram, of course.
Of course, my angel. And it's been a blessing. And God bless you and continued success with the great work that you're doing.
Oh, I'm going to keep doing it. Absolutely. Okay, love you, my dear. Love out to everybody
love
that's listening and going to be listening. And remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Bye-bye.